Hi guys, and welcome back to the Once You're In podcast. This is episode number 35. Just another Q&A episode. We have spoke about doing a educational series, which is in the pipeline, but just so busy. Just so busy, aren't we? So how's things, mate?
Yeah, sound. Not too bad. Me and Finn are currently on day two of a three-day deload. It came to week six, and we were like, right, we need to deload. But legitimately,
it's been seven and a half weeks.
Oh, is it how long it's been?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell. Mate, we've gone into an overreach state. So anabolic. Now, I'm going to be massive by the end of this week. And then obviously I'll just start back up on lower volume.
Muscle, mate.
You've lost all muscle? Yeah. That must be. Is it because you're natural? It doesn't work if you're natural.
Yeah. Nothing works when you're natural.
Nah, nothing. Like, that's fair enough. So yeah, day two of the deload. It was an interesting one because we were going to go through a devolume rotation. And I remember, I'm not too sure if you can see Bear's just coming. I know we spoke about obviously going for a devolume rotation from Tuesday onwards, so like Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and then go like a whole rotation that way. But I then mentioned like my Wednesday session, because it's like a delts and arm session, a devolume session would be pretty boring, and it wouldn't even be it would be a bit like monotonous, and your Wednesday session isn't too taxing either. So I think I said on Monday, like, what do you reckon about having like Wednesday and then maybe Friday off and then restart Saturday? Because also, if we were to go for a deload, we've always said, like, especially on a hip hinge, that's our Saturday session, it always feels like if we were to go 2 weeks, it would feel really foreign, you know, if we were to miss a week of pulling. So I felt like we've gone for a bit of a blended approach, which, to be fair, I don't think we've ever ran, but I've had it for a load of clients, and it's usually, in my opinion, seems to be pretty decent across the board.
We definitely have. We've ran it a few times.
I feel like we have, but I can't remember off the top of my head when.
We've run it when we've basically done a full deload, and then we've come back in the first week and done a deep volume as well, which, to be fair, is a pretty common approach just to make sure you don't like absolutely ruin yourself in the first week back. But yeah, I've done it quite a lot of times with clients, like a hybrid approach. It seems to work pretty well. I think it depends on how fatigued you are, and obviously it's quite difficult to properly assess that, but I think we both know our bodies quite well now, and you know, we'd know if it's like, right, you know, we need a full week off because we're trashed. We'd also know if it's like, actually, we'd probably just be all right with the devolume and stay in the gym. We're kind of in between the two, weren't we? So we waited until Tuesday because we were filming. And then we thought, right, we'll take it from Wednesday. I reckon, to be fair, if we weren't filming on that Tuesday, I'd have probably taken it on the Monday.
Because I was. Yeah, I reckon so. I said to you last week, didn't I, going into that, I think it was on the podcast, actually, I said it about Friday, and you were like, we'll give it a few days. And then we spoke on Friday, and we were like, yeah, it's coming. Like, you can almost tell. Like, we'd still be able to train progressively for like 2 or 3 weeks, easily. Like,
right. Even longer than that. I honestly think I'd be able to keep training progressively in the position I'm in for a long, long, long time. Yeah, the main thing that was like noticeable for me was my sleep was taking a hit. And my intent to work, like usually, like I'll get up and I'm not like looking forward to check-ins, but I'm like,
so what, you hate your check-ins? I hate, so you just wake up, you're like, oh God.
Like, I'm ready to work. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get started with it. Whereas like in the past, probably the past week, not that I still kept the same routine and everything. Obviously, I have to, otherwise I'd be miles behind work. But I just felt a little bit more lethargic, like mentally more than anything. And even just like making my meals. And I find that when I'm fatigued, I find myself scrolling on social media without even realizing. So like I'll go to like post a story of a check-in.
Yeah.
And then I've scrolled for 5 minutes. When usually I'm like, right, next one, straight on with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like mentally fresh. So just little things like that I notice nowadays. And then, when it is like that, I just think, I'll take a deload / devolume. But yeah, I think for us, it's pretty easy to know when we're there. For a lot of people, it's quite difficult. It's one of the most challenging things I find with new clients is getting to understand where their sort of level is and when they're overreached or when they're just, because sometimes you get people who are just like, oh, I'm a bit tired. And then you look at their sleep and it's like, well, yeah, of course you're tired. Your sleep's been horrendous. Like, you're not overly fatigued. You're just always fatigued because your lifestyle isn't in line with where it needs to be yet. But for people like us and for a lot of our clients, like as soon as they'll say that, oh, I'm feeling a little bit, we can sort of, we know that, right, this person is the type who I know if they're going to tell me that, they're fucked. So like Niall, for example, was like, oh yeah, I'm all right. Like, I'll push on for another week. And then I was like, yeah, we'll take a D volume. Like, because I know that when he's saying that, he's probably not all
right. Another week,
Another week's not really going to be a productive week. Whereas you might get other people who it's like, they'll say, oh, I'm a bit fatigued. But like I say, you look at their variables, that what we're tracking, and they're not really where they need to be. So I'll usually be like, that's the reason. It's not that you're actually fatigued. It's because you're not on top of these basic things.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, especially considering we mentioned again on the last podcast, like a lot of people had like a few days off over Christmas. I know with the, like, I'd probably say 60 to 70% of my clients had some deload or like devolume over the festive period. So it's been like you said,
about, I thought three or four clients, yeah.
Yeah, 60% of 10 people. So yeah, four people didn't. It's been so hard this week. But no, it was one of those where like the last week, 2 weeks, I've had a few people devolume. I think literally today I put two people on a deload, and it'll be probably the same for the next few weeks. It really depends on just literally recovery capabilities, how hard they train. And it's an interesting one because I usually would go off. My ability to kind of want to be in the gym after about the first a couple of exercises. But weirdly enough, I think post-prep, I haven't actually suffered with that once. So like I feel like because I was so low on energy during prep that I just didn't like every exercise I was like, yay. And in reality I was like, oh, I just want to get finished. Where now, like even when I was a little bit more fatigued, I haven't actually noticed, like, you know, when you're in the gym and you're halfway through a session and you're like, oh God, I've got this to that to do, that to do, that to do. And that's usually the first.
Even I don't feel like that though. Like I think that's it's interesting because of our programming and
Together, I definitely think our sessions, I haven't had that since switching to five sessions, and that's probably what it is. And it's mainly because probably the five sessions, if you think about it, even though my actual weekly volume is the highest it's ever been relative to the last few years,
they're slightly shorter, aren't they? Not quite.
Yeah, they're not like before, like during prep, and obviously before I like my volume started coming down, it was almost where I remember our sessions were like 4 to 4.5 hours minimum, where now, like, they're still long, they're like 3 to 3.5, but that hour is a big difference. Like when you're doing a push and arm session and you're like, okay, cool, you can just smash their arms. And like we were doing push and arms during the start of prep, even before that, when we like went into the gyms last year, it's like April time, etc. And our sessions were like, we do like three sets of curls, then we do like two sets and then a muscle round or whatever. And it was very, very high volume. Then a lateral, and it was, like I said, four and a bit hours sessions at times, which to be fair, like it's probably not optimal, but we had time allowance to be able to do it. And also it was where when you're doing four sessions per week, your sessions pretty much need to be long if you're relatively strong, because you're going to have rest time. You can't just be smashing through eight exercises in an hour and a half when you need rest time and you're relatively strong. So yeah, it was it's one of those, but that's usually the first sign I look for when it comes to fatigue, and it hasn't really been that. I mentioned similar to you, fairly like inconsistent sleep, waking up and I'm like, I wake up and I'm almost like not wide awake, but I don't feel like I'm well rested. You know, when you wake up and you're just a bit like feel pretty awake still, like, and it's like in the middle of the night,
like all last week.
Yeah,
this morning was the first morning in about probably a week that I've woken up and actually felt all right.
Yeah.
Like, I felt, oh, I've actually slept pretty well and I actually feel well rested. Like, every other morning I've woke up and my eyes are like, fucking hell, like struggling to get up, which I don't like. I hate that feeling, and I very rarely have that feeling.
I said to a client today on the check-in when they were mentioning them being ill, and I said, I was like, you shouldn't be annoyed, but you can either be sorry for yourself when things aren't ideal, or like you can be a bit like frustrated. And I get frustrated when I get let down by my own like physiology, where like, you know, if you're ill or if you don't feel yourself, you're like, why aren't I able just to be me? Like, there's nothing worse than waking up
and you end up realizing that you take it for granted, don't you? Just general day-to-day health. Like when you've got a bit of a cold, or if you are really ill, think, fucking hell, like, you know, I remember times when you forget what it's like to be able to breathe through your nose and stuff, and you're like, I missed that so much.
No, it's definitely the case. So yeah, and then to be fair, the one thing I've had, and this is again post prep, this is strange, this is, I think I said this to you, my head now, if I'm a little bit, and I've been really busy the last like few weeks, and like I think since like the new year, and then likewise probably just a bit of fatigue creeping in, it's like I can tell when there's like, you know, when there's nothing happening, like silence, my head is like constantly, like it's almost like someone's like bashing like a drum in my head, because I'm like, you could be doing this, you could be doing that, you could be doing this, you need to do that, you need to do that, you need to do this. And like I feel like that's again probably a sign that, especially when I've been post prep, it was like, I was like, right, I actually do need to chill out, because I'm probably gonna not like dig myself into a ditch, but like I said, that's the one thing that I noticed. And I had that like the last week where I was in between meals and I was almost having to put something on to take my mind away from the fact that I was like, you've got this to do, you've got that, you've got this, you've got that. And it's lucky that I'm in that position, but it was like, right, I'm a little bit flat out right now. I probably need to chill out a bit and just go from there.
I was going to say that when all that you can hear is silence. Yeah. I was thinking that the other day, you know, when I stayed at my mate's when I went home, because I'm so used to living on the main road.
Yeah.
He lives on, like, obviously back at home, it's like quiet villages. So there's no cars driving by or anything. So it was literally like silence. Whereas I'm always used to like hearing something, like, cause it's Loughborough town. You can always hear like something, even if it's really quiet. And then I always fall to sleep easier because there's like background noise, even though it's really quiet. But it was like absolutely silent, like, white noise. It was that quiet. Weird. And then like you say, your brain sort of ticks over even more and you're thinking about more things because it is completely silent.
So that was pretty much that. So like I said, 3-day deload, D volume Saturday. We said a whole rotation, but I'm just gonna probably just, and I know you will, we'll just see how I feel. I reckon like Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then probably if I'm good to go Friday, like if I feel like I'm raring to go back at full volume, Friday will probably be back to full volume. If not, I'll probably knock it on the head for Friday, maybe TCIM Saturday. It's one of those where like you want to re-enter in a good spot, because if you don't, like we've said it before, like we've done D volumes that they don't turn into D volumes because they like that you'll start to leave arms the same, and then you're like, oh, this feels good, I'm gonna do a second set, and it just turns into pretty suboptimal sessions, but like just a bit less than what you would usually do. And in the grand scheme of things, the way we train,
like 50%, we drop it by like 20 sometimes.
Yeah,
the way we train, we've not done that.
Struggle not to at times, you know, like struggle not to get switched on for a set. That's something that I'm seeing a lot of people do with D volumes. Like I can completely understand the mental break of like saying to yourself, don't get yourself switched on. But like, for example, on Saturday, we're doing one set of the deadlift. I'm still going to be going in thinking, I might chill out a little bit in comparison, but I'm still going to get myself switched on. Like I'm not going to go into that set like, oh, one set, let's just go in and not think too much of it. You know, like I wouldn't be able to train like that. So
That's it. It's dependent on what that individual likes, you know.
Yeah.
Some clients or some people will benefit from going in and maybe training at sort of 70-80% in terms of volume and load. I prefer to have people still training, you know, and still keeping their level of effort and intensity high and just reducing volume. I think there's quite a lot of, generally, you know, in terms of like the literature and in terms of athletes and how it's always been ran with sports, is like, even though they'll class it as a deload, that is what is done really. You keep the same intensity and you just pretty much chop the volume in half or so. But like you say, you know, especially for people who maybe do really, really get switched on for sets, like it is beneficial to maybe have that slight break from it. But also you got to think, if you're doing something like we are, like the hybrid approach, we've had that little break already, you know. Even just having two rest days in a row feels like a lot.
Yeah, I thought that today on the way to physio. I was like, this is the first two rest days in a row I've had, literally since obviously the last deload. So no surprise there. But it's like, it felt pretty good to be like, I'm not training today. And I had yesterday off. And then I'm like, and I'm not training again tomorrow. Like, it was quite a nice feel. Like, you know what I mean? When you actually think about it, you're like, okay, cool. Like, it's pretty good.
When you know you're trashed is when you actually want it. Like I said to you on Tuesday, I was like, I can't wait to not train tomorrow.
I definitely think that was the case. And to be fair, Tuesday's session, I feel like I could be fresh as anything. At the end of that session, I don't want to train the following day.
But I usually wake up on that Wednesday and I'm like, I'm ready to train still. Like, even though my legs feel trash, like, cause obviously it's not a lower body day anyway. Like, I feel ready to train, but like I could just tell this week, even last week, like it was getting there.
Yeah,
especially this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. So before we get into the questions, I want to run through like the last week's worth of training in a sense. So we'll work it back. Tuesday session filmed by Peter for your YouTube. That was a good session, I think, pretty much. What do you think? Happy of the five plate for 3-1 on the Cybex? A triple mate, becoming a powerlifter?
It was all right, to be fair. It's the first time I've ever done it, and it, so it was just sort of seeing how it actually felt.
Meanwhile, I've been getting mugged off. You know Dan? He liked your, he commented on your photo. He also liked, he messaged me like about the hack, and I haven't messaged him back. I was checking yesterday and I didn't say anything, but I'm a bit like, God, don't be mean, man. I did 2.5 plates for like 16 pours continuous. It's wank, I know. You don't have to tell me. Like, you know,
he's asking me a question about it.
Did he actually? Did he say, how is Reese's hack so weak? And why is his legs? Why, he's got amazing legs. Why is his hack so weak?
Come on.
Yeah. And then Monday session, that was push. That was decent. We had the high incline dumbbells in. You got the 50s for a more respectable set this time, mate. Well done. Proud of you.
Yes, mate.
And I got the 65s. I got a triple. And then Saturday session, I officially actually became a powerlifter. I deadlifted 300 kilos. Which is 7 plates, which is quite cool, but I only got 1 rep, so it doesn't really count for too much. It's interesting because I posted it and I got a load of comments and DMs like, mate, this is mint. And I was like, it's 1 rep, it's shit. Like, it's not, like, if it was a set of 3, I'd be like, yeah, 300 kg for 3, that's good. If it's a set of 2, I'd be like, yeah, it's all right. A set of 1, I'm like, well, I should be getting more than 1. Like, it's not that impressive.
You shouldn't be doing 1 rep maxes. Like, that's
no.
That's why it's sort of, it's still impressive, obviously, but yeah, I don't think it's like, oh my God, if you'd have got it for like 7, then yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. But 1 rep, I'm like, no, it's not that impressive. But it does go to show just how fucking poor I am when it comes to low reps work. And it's literally because I don't think I've ever really pulled 2s and 3s ever consistently. So I clearly need to get a bit better, but ideally I don't want to be pulling 1 rep maxes. That'll be that. And then, yeah, Friday session, push, That was pretty sound, wasn't it? That was at Saturday as well, we should mention, was videoed for my YouTube. And that was pretty much that. So nothing really to report. Do you want to get into the questions? Anything else that you wanted to mention regarding the last week, mate? I got some last-minute questions come through.
Have you got any from last week?
I don't know. Did I leave? Did I get them all back?
Pretty sure you had some left.
Did I? Right, I'll have a look, because I didn't put up a question box intentionally. I was just so busy today. And I was like, oh God, I've got to do the podcast. And
you said that you weren't going to put one up.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't, but then I'll have a look, because I put last minute questions up, so I like the last minute questions. I'll have a look. Do you want to go for your questions first? Did you get many, mate?
Yeah, I've got a few.
Question, by the way. Halo Jim Harvey will love me for this. Have you seen the air-powered leg press and leg extension that they have at that Halo gym?
No.
You know the giant set he tagged us in on the leg extension?
Yeah.
Did you see where the load was?
I didn't really watch it properly.
Oh, mate, come on. There wasn't load. It's like air compression. So it's like a pole that goes into another... I can't describe it. I don't know how to explain it.
Like hydraulic.
I messaged him... Yeah, and I messaged him like, mate, I'm being stupid here, but where's the load? And he was like, so it's powered by magic, because I don't, and he was like, you can touch a button to increase the resistance, and it's like pretty very cool. Consistent, and he says they drop, yeah, and he sent me over, there's a leg press, and the leg press literally looks like, you know, when you see footballers do tests on, and it's literally, there's no load, it's just like a pad in front of you, and you just press it, and like, you can see there's like a hydraulic thing underneath it, and I was like, mate, I've never seen any bits of kit like that. Cool. It was pretty mental. I don't know why I brought that up, I just thought, because I know he asked a question last week, so I thought, maybe it was, maybe you saw it, but yeah, it's pretty mental. I do actually have some questions, to be fair.
Well then, let's get
to have one. I've got a really good question.
In that order, so go through yours first.
Okay, really, really good question from JJF Fitness 1. Does body image affect being a PT/coach? I'm going to say unfortunately yes, because you can be very clever and you can be very educated and you might not look like it, because you might, let's say, prioritize your clients and training might not be the main priority to you. You could be the most clever individual going. But unfortunately, people will pay attention when they're employing you as their trainer or coach. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's almost like expected, if I'm honest. What would you say regarding the question?
I'd probably say more so when it comes to online, because...
Oh, okay.
It comes to one-to-one, like, you'll see... Most PTs are out of shape. Like, depends what people class as in and out of shape, but a lot of PTs are out of shape. I feel like when it comes to online, you're probably going to be looking at more. It's more so. Well, it's social media, isn't it? like at the end of the day, you know, you're attracting clients online rather than on the gym floor. Obviously, I think it's important in both circumstances. I think it depends on the individuals that you're trying to attract. So for example, like if you're looking at, you know, training OAPs and just trying to help people with basic movement patterns in old age, then they're probably not going to be asked whether or not you've competed. But if you're trying to be a prep coach, then you're probably going to need to be in relatively decent shape, or at least have been at some point, potentially have competed or competed numerous times. So yeah, it definitely does play a role. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it should, to an extent. I don't think it should be the only thing that you focus on. But
yeah,
I think it is definitely beneficial to have, you know, someone who walks the walk. You know, I wouldn't expect my clients to do anything that I've never done. I wouldn't be pushing clients to their limit on when, you know, in diet phases, if I didn't know they would be able to manage it because I've not done it myself and things like that. So I do think it is important. It's not the most important thing, but it is important.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good answer, to be fair. Yeah, I'd word it probably fairly similar. So yeah, I'd say unfortunate times, but then at the same time, it's going to be expected. And it's almost one of those where, unfortunately, in the world we live in, like, you might know more than someone. You might be objectively a better PT or coach, and they'll go to someone who's in better shape, or let's say their marketing's fantastic, whatever it's going to be. And I feel like that's probably in any business. There's always going to be people who are better, who are not better, but they're better at selling themselves. And yeah, unfortunately, it is kind of it's a very hostile, coaching is, in PT in general, is quite hostile environment. Like, it's very like coach v coach at times, which I don't think it's a bad thing. It's how business is. If you want to rise to the top, you need to be pretty good at it, and you need to, in a way, if I was in the industry, and let's say I had a horrendous physique, I would almost, I'm not saying he has a horrendous physique, but let's say I look poor, I would utilize it as motivation to think, well, it's going to enhance my business by me being in better shape.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to get myself into better shape, not only for my own personal development, but then also from a business standpoint. I'd almost go into it thinking, well, that's almost going to be expected. Would you want to hire someone? Like, what would you want out of it? And I'd kind of flip it around. So yeah, Harry Austin Lifts, what two things, not three, not one, two things have you nailed consistently to make the best progress possible? I was going to say gear and food, and training. What's training? I just literally go to the gym and just get a pump. I don't even bother about training. Food and training. That's it. I think that would be for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, if you're consistently training.
Sleep, if it was three.
Yeah, but it's not going to be more important than food or training, though, surely.
No, I'm saying if there was three, it would be.
Yeah. What would the fourth be? What would your fourth be? What would you put at the top of the pyramid? Let's make a pyramid. Like training.
Well, training. Food. Generally, the base of the pyramid would be the most important.
Yeah. But I see some people go from the top. Yeah, we'll go from the base.
Let's just say, what's the first most important thing? Training. I would always say training. But it winds me up when people say, oh, it's food. It's like, how the fuck is it food? If you didn't train.
It's 70% diet. Do you not know? It's 70% diet, 30% training.
And I've heard like really well-educated people saying this as well on quite sort of well-renowned podcasts and things. They're like, oh yeah, food is the most important thing. No, it's not. If you didn't train, then you would not grow. You can eat all.
You could have the best macros.
The
most optimal meal timing. If you're not getting into the gym and not creating any stimulus, you're not going to grow.
I've heard people who generally you would class as quite well educated saying like food and gear are more important than training. I know. Yeah. Yes, you can grow from taking gear alone and not training, but still, it's not more important than the training.
No, definitely not. So training, food. Then, like, we're classing food as hydration, water, stuff like that as well, clearly.
Then it's sleep and rest. I'd say there's loads of things that fall under the next bit. So, like, things like nutrient timing, supplementation, loads of things like that. Like, they're sort of the minute details that all add up.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of people will just go right to the bottom and be like, hey, mate, I don't hit my macros every day, but my meal timing needs to be more optimal. Or, yeah, bro, do you reckon I should be
taking creatine?
I'm taking EAAs and an intra carb, but I'm not even hitting my macros for the day. What do you reckon I should do?
I'm not even going to the gym. I keep missing my sessions because I can't be asked.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, that's that. Opinion on the Zuma situation? It's old news. He kicked Kat.
I haven't seen it, but I still know that it's disgraceful.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just worse than jumping a dog. It's worse than jumping a dog. It's awful. No, it's just a shit situation. And unfortunately, there's a lot of bellends in the world. And that doesn't mean that every footballer is not a bellend or every footballer is a bellend. There's just bellends.
People forget they are just people, though.
Yeah, like, there's people who are just... there's twats.
Happens with fucking all the rape allegations and things like that against footballers. Like, they are just people at the end of the day. And a lot of them are going to be absolute scum. Yeah. Just because they're good at football doesn't make a difference, does it?
Yeah, there's a lot of people this week who would have unfortunately beat up animals, and it's just because Kurt Zuma's in the limelight. So it's like, oh, he's the one who's going to be Yeah, like, he's now getting done for his actions, which he should be done. Like, it's not good. But it's just a shit situation. And it's like bellend behaviour from, again, a footballer who, again, is a person. So they're always going to be bellends, unfortunately. That's how it is. Hack or pendulum? Which would you prefer, mate?
Completely depends.
Matrix hack or...
Cracking answer.
Yeah, Matrix, yeah, it does depend. Okay, now, DP Fit, he's asked the question last week. So this was before he took the piss out of my hack spot. Cheers, Dan. How bad do you think size perceptions are skewed? To average people, some of your clients are huge, but to you guys, they're relatively small. Well, I don't know what he says by that. Like, I just got onto everyone, like, all right, well, to be fair, mate, everyone else would think you're big, but you're fucking tiny compared to me. Like, in my eyes, you're small, bro. Imagine if I was to say that.
Because even, again, like, because I went home at the weekend, obviously, you know, a lot of my mates don't train. They don't really get it. They were like saying, oh, how long would it take you to get this guy in shape? And I was like, well, what are you classing as in shape? Yeah. For them, like, in shape is massively different from what I would class as in shape. Yeah. And that's not me being a dickhead or them being clueless. It's just different people's perceptions. Yeah. It is weird. Like, but it's the world we live in, isn't it? Like, everybody's has
you different... You grew up thinking Ronaldo was fucking huge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you grow up like... Ronaldo's massive. And he's like, you realise he's 80 kilos at 6'1". And you're like...
Yeah, it's, right. It is strange how your perceptions change. But obviously, like, you learn as you learn more about training. Like, even, you know, for example, like, we'll have seen people in the gym who we maybe thought were quite big, but then you see them in person, you're like, oh, they're not actually that big. And then you see other people who you think, oh, fucking hell, they actually look really good. And again, like, even especially with social media, like, anybody can look good when they're still on their own. And then you put them against someone else who's bigger and leaner, and they look bigger and they look better. You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's all about, you know, your different perceptions. But what's he even asking as a question? Like, is there something wrong with that? Or,
yeah, you know, he says, how bad do you think size perceptions are skewed? And I mean, like, everyone's going to view themselves as smaller than they are. Like, that's pretty much how it is. Like, I remember you said to me in the changing room, like, a couple of weeks back, someone was like, you're a big lad, you look massive. And you, like, said to me afterwards, you're like, I looked to myself in the mirror and I looked like I didn't even train. Like, you're in, like, an oversized
fit. Because I was in a t-shirt. I get it if I'm posing, like, because, like, I'm fucking massive. No, because you can make yourself look decent when you're posing, and you can create a decent shape, and it creates that illusion that you look bigger. But I was actually just walked in a t-shirt, and it was weird because, like I say, you know, you still, that like I do anyway, still perceive myself as small, and you still, I don't think you ever really sort of visualize yourself as anything apart from maybe what you were when you were, you know, a teenager, like, because that's just what you've always known. It's weird. Like, I think I'll always think like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a big lad growing up, it'd probably be different, but because I was always like really small and really skinny, like, I still kind of feel like that, even though I know I'm not. And like Pete sent the video over today, like the mock video. Yeah, it's good, man. I've told him like things to change. Obviously, he's just sending it as like a first draft.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, he was videoing us from across the gym, and I was like, I actually don't look small. I was like, I don't realize that I actually look relatively big. Like, obviously, I know you look big because I can see you, like, and I perceive you in, what is it, third person? Yeah. No, because it's not third person.
First person.
You see
me through your eyes, and you don't see, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly. So it's just weird to look at yourself through as if like watching a video. I was like, oh, like fucking massive me.
Yeah. No, I'd be the same as like, for example, I remember like prepping last year, stepping on stage, like you're backstage and you're like, oh, fucking hell, this guy looks good. This guy looks good. He's won a show here. He's done this. And then you look for, look at photos afterwards and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm well bigger than them. And like, I look way much, but like, I look a lot better. And it's the same as like when you're training in the gym, you can see someone and then like, say like they're next to you and you'll go, God, he looks good. And then you'll see yourself next to him. You'll be like, oh, I'm bigger than him. That's weird. Like it's, you don't ever really, like if you were just look at yourself, you're always going to be hypercritical and you always go into, and this is what we've said before, like I'll take a photo of you and say, that looks good, mate. And you'll go, yeah, but this looks shit. That looks shit. My legs look wank. Like it was the same as like when I was prepping, like I look back at photos and I was like, Jesus Christ, that looks unhealthy. Like I'm like, there's nothing there. But I remember looking at myself and thinking, oh, there's probably a little bit of body fat on like my lower back there. That could go. And in reality, I'm not looking that my upper back has fucking veins coming out and there's like lines everywhere. And I'm like, oh yeah, but there's tiny, tiny bit of my lower back that's look could be a bit leaner.
You know? That's how you need to be in a prep though.
Yeah, definitely. But even in a gaining phase, like you won't look at the fullness in your chest and how much like bigger you look. You'll just be thinking, oh, my legs look a bit shit. They need to be better, you know, and it's how it always will be. And you need to almost embrace that. Like,
I think that's good. Like, if you're looking at yourself constantly, going, oh, I look mint. It's like, yeah, probably not going to improve.
Yeah, exactly. And I would almost kind of take a step back and think like, if you're, and again, it's probably the reason why, like we've said it before, like you don't want to be surrounded by people who just say, this is good, this is amazing. It doesn't lead to anything other than you just thinking you're better than you are. And in the grand scheme of things, like it's just you v you. So it doesn't really fucking matter. Like you almost need to think, right, I need to be better. Why are you training? To get better. That's almost what you need to be focusing on. So yeah, that was last week's questions. I had like one or two more, but they were pretty shit, if I'm honest. So shit questions, guys, sort it out. We'll go into last minute questions and then likewise your questions, mate.
Okay, so this is from Gio Ashley, guy who got us with My Cock Small.
Every week we're going to say this now.
Weirdest memory / funny story from childhood / teenage years.
Ooh, that's a good one. I feel like I needed to know this before to kind of think, because
I've just thought of a good one.
Okay, you go for it. I'll try and think.
So
I got one.
So when me and my mates were about 15, yeah, we had a little gathering at one of my mates' house and we had a few drinks and we were just like playing card games and stuff.
Mate, you're getting pissed all the time. 15 on the weekend, awful.
And we were 15, 16, like around that age. I think he had a free house that night. His mum and dad were away or something. And he lived near the guy. So he ended up being like deputy head teacher, but he was like a PE teacher and he was proper sound. He was our football coach like growing up, like from year seven, and he liked us all because we had a good football team that year, but he lived nearby, so we were like, oh, should we go like knock it all running? So this was like literally the middle of the night as well. He had like, I think he had a young lad like a couple of years older.
He was a sound guy. Why are you doing this?
No, he wasn't, he was a twat.
Okay, he was sound
when it came to football. No, he wasn't. Yeah. He was all right, but like we were pissed. Like we just thought it'd be funny. So yeah, we went like round to his house. Like Matt, my mate, like proper smashed on the door, and we were like, "Why have you hit it that hard?" Like it was like it sounded like someone was trying to break in.
Yeah,
and we all just sprinted. And obviously, you don't expect to get chased. You just expect him to maybe like look out the door and be like, "Oh, what the fuck, mate?" Yeah. We were running back, and obviously, when you're pissed, you're like running a bit slow, aren't you? And we turned round, and literally it was like Usain Bolt was sprinting down the centre. Honestly, mate, it was horrendous, right? And he had no shoes on, so he literally come out of his house, and mate, he was literally like rapid. And we just looked back, and obviously when you're pissed as well, things are a bit blurry, and we're like, is he coming out? And it was just like a silhouette of this, because he's quite small as well. It was a silhouette of this short man just sprinting as fast as he could. And Matt, because he was fat, my mate, he had to stop, and it was literally like a minute run. He had to stop halfway, and he like stopped in this little car park. Well, it was like someone's drive, and I was like, Matt, come on. And the person in the drive, like there was a person in the window of the house, and Matt like stopped panting like in the drive, and the person then that was in the window, like, oh, he was like, fuck off. So Matt was like, oh, so I had to carry on running. And then, you know, well, we got to Will's house and we couldn't get in the door. Like Will was pissed and he had his key and literally were like, Will, come on, please let us in. We couldn't get in. Luckily we got in just in time. And then Have you ever watched In Between Us? Have you seen that episode where, I can't remember who it is, but it's one of their neighbours and he's looking in the window and he's like, I can see your feet.
Yes. Yeah, I can. Yeah.
So we were in the kitchen and we were all hiding behind the counters and he was basically knocking on the window going, I know you're in there. I know you're in there. Literally just like on In Between Us. And we were like, fucking hell. And then I was like, he was silent for about 30 seconds. I was like, oh, I think he's got. So I like peeked my head up and he was just there. His eyes like staring right at me. And I was like, fuck. Like ran into the front room. And then eventually he was sat, mate, he was like going to break Will's door down. Like he was proper smashing it. So yeah. Will, like, we're like, Will, you're going to have to go. It's your house, mate. You're going to have to go. So Will went to the door and he was like, I'm sorry.
That's funny that.
He said to Will, he was like, I expect you all to come round in the morning and apologise. So the following morning, we all went round and apologised.
Oh, fucking out of the lot. No chance. But you would have sobered up and gone, oh God, we're going to get in so big trouble.
Well, we sobered up and we thought, fucking hell, we're arseholes. So we went round and like, sorry, mate. So yeah, that was...
Yeah, I could think of, I've got loads, but like there's two. One that actually is similar. I was on holiday with Nick. Nick was like my best mate at the time. Don't really talk to him anymore. Turned into a bit of a bellend. Sorry, Nick. But when it came to Nick, went on holiday with him, and pretty much we water gunned. We had a room that like oversaw like where the pool was, and we got some water guns. We're like 15, like similar age to you, and we ended up like everyone who walked to the toilet, we just water gun, and the vast majority of people would look up and laugh because it's hot. And then one, we water gunned this guy's wife, and the guy like clearly had a fucking issue. So he like came up and knocked on the door like, and I thought it was my mum. So I was like, oh, go open it. And then I clicked and I went, Nick, don't open the fucking door. And I looked out, saw my mum, and I was like, it's the guy. It would have been the family. And then I was like, hello. And he goes, hello. And I start laughing and I'm like, I'm not opening the door. And he starts banging. He's like, open the fucking door. And I'm like, no, I'm not opening the door. Then anyway, turns out we walk out and he was like waiting around the corner and he was like probably like 6'3". And I remember just thinking like, we just water gunned your wife. That was it. That was it. But no, the one I actually was going to say, and this isn't embarrassing, this is actually a bit weird. Do you know when you go on holiday, again, a holiday story, I was in Tunisia, I was like 12 or 13, I was with Ilias. And you know when you go paragliding and they like strip you up into like, you know, when they take you on a boat and they go up in the air?
Yeah.
We were doing that. And basically how we were, like we had our hands like up here and you couldn't move your hands. And anyway, I technically got like, in a way, like I would say sexually assaulted, but it was really fucking weird. Yeah, I got molested pretty much. So I was stood there with my hands like tied up to like my head and like onto like, these handles, and I couldn't move my hands. And this like Tunisian, like I would say bodybuilder, but he was a big dude, comes up to me and then like does his finger and goes like on my balls. And I was like, and I'm like, right, I'm in shorts, I'm 12. And like, and he looks at me and then he goes, little. It's just, I was just there like, all right, mate, cheers. And for the whole paragliding thing, I was just like,
God, not even enjoying yourself.
I don't even think I smiled. I walked back and my mum was like, Reese, you're right. And I was like, I got molested. I remember just thinking,
did
I was
you
like,
tell her?
Yeah, I told her, I was like, just touch my cock. And the worst thing is, I think we went back there to do like the jet skis.
Went back for seconds.
I was just like, I looked at him and I was like, you better not touch my cock again, mate. So yeah, that was that. That was a weird, very, very weird experience. Yeah. So yeah, I can't really think of anything else embarrassing. I remember I got asked in front of the whole school to do the alphabet and my mind went blank and I think I said it incorrectly and the whole school laughed at me in like year two. That was embarrassing.
You are a bit thick there, aren't you?
Nah, mate. Imagine the whole school.
Year 11, wasn't it?
it was like last year uni. imagine trying to do the ABC when like you've got the whole school there and I only got one wrong and everyone started laughing and my mind just went and I just looked and I was like, I don't know. That was embarrassing.
I don't
worst day of my life. Yeah, cried myself back home on the bus. It was awful. But
he,
so, yeah.
He didn't ask for an embarrassing story. It said weirdest memory /
weirdest. Yeah, that was probably me getting molested technically.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
Yeah. I mean, recently, mate, the weirdest was probably those three lads at urinals that we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, services, that was pretty weird.
Go on then, tell the story.
Nah, you can tell it, mate. I've just spoke for 5 minutes. Give me a rest. Come on, you can do it. Or the Ronaldo. Which one?
The Ronaldo one was funnier.
Yeah, so I'd say so.
When we drive to Ultraflex, before we used to stop off at Tib Shelf Services and go for we'd have our food and we'd go for a wee. And one time we walked in and there was a guy stood there and he had his hands like out by his sides as if he was about
legs
to
wide.
Take a free kick. Yeah, he had his legs wide, his arms by his sides, literally like he was about to step up and take a free kick like Ronaldo. God knows how he was aiming his cock. Like I reckon he just had such a massive one. It was already just in the bottom of the urinal. But yeah. I was like, Reese, look, like, what the fuck's he doing? And then Reese just went, Ronaldo! And like, I literally couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing for the whole time I was having a piss. And like, people were like coming up like next to me while I was just laughing at myself, having a wee.
Yeah, it was bad.
So that was funny. And then we had another one where there was like we walked in, there was these three men. There was like two older men and like a younger lad. And they were just all stood right next to each other. There was loads of free urinals.
There was loads. You could have literally spaced out. And they were on the three next
to only three in there, and there's about 20 in there. They were all stood right next to each other, almost like with their hands like up on the wall. Like almost like, I swear one of them maybe had his hand around one of them.
I actually think
they were all like just grunting. They were like, oh yeah. Oh. And we were like,
We walk in, I think we just looked at each other like,
that was weird. One was funny, but at the time it was just more like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
that was weird. But that wasn't a childhood memory.
No, that was a recent one.
So that one doesn't count. There'll be loads. I feel like there's loads of like weird and funny childhood stories. You don't really remember them, do you? Unless like you proper think about them. But let's move on. Yeah.
Yes. Do you want me to do a question?
Yeah, go on then.
Should naturals... Fantastic start. Only count protein from HBV sources or count all trace protein too?
It's irrelevant whether you're natural or not.
Nah, mate, come on. Enhanced people can count protein from wherever. You don't need to worry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
What I like get everyone to do is track all your protein, but I make sure that they're getting a good amount of HBV or complete protein per meal. So ideally like 30 grams plus, depending on the size of the individual, but ideally like 30 grams plus. So for some people, especially if they're on like a hell of a lot of carbs, like their total protein might be like upward of 250 grams, but they're still probably getting 30 gram plus per meal. Maybe some people closer to 40 grams or so, depending on how heavy they are, how big they are. But yeah, I would say track all of them, track all your protein, even trace, but make sure that you're getting a good amount per meal. Ideally 30 grams plus every 2.5 to 4 hours.
To masturbate your muscle protein synthesis. That's what you need to have. Yeah, no, it makes sense. And we should just say that's a natural guy answering. For an enhanced individual.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Nutrition, don't worry about it, bro. You don't even need to train. Just take it, that's it. You'll grow.
This is from Miles Mason. He says, one bicep ISO exercise for the rest of your life. What are you choosing?
Single arm preacher or a facing away cable curl?
You got to choose one.
I'm going to go for a single arm preacher because the stability's there, so I could do it after pushing and my front delt wouldn't be taxed as a result of the stability provided. And single arm because you can align it a little bit better.
Yeah, to be fair, that's a good choice. I would go with a single arm dumbbell preacher and I would go from a neutral to a supinated grip.
So what, like during, so you'd start off in a neutral twist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
So then I'm incorporating all three functions of the bicep.
Yeah, and you could also argue, because you'd be doing it like that, you could really manipulate how you do it on the bench anyway, so elbow position, where it drops off, if you don't want it to drop off, etc. So, where like with me, if I had the prime, the only options I've really got is just the length and middle short. So, yeah, dumbbell probably would be a bit more efficient if you had to pick one. But if you had a whole gym, you would always pick probably a preacher curl in a fixed machine over a dumbbell.
Yeah, but if I only had the one option of one exercise for the rest of my life, I would choose something that incorporates everything.
Well, we seem to have made Dumbbell RDLs popular. So now everyone's going to be doing our thanks to the Once You're In Your Own podcast for this fantastic bicep exercise. All three functions of the bicep. That's what it's going to be. You know, that's so everyone's going to have big arms. You listen to this now. We have Woody's Fitness. Big Wood. Is prime equipment overrated?
Maybe as a whole, but yeah. Because if you go, oh, prime equipment's amazing, it's like, well, not all of it.
Not all of it's prime. Not all of it's amazing.
But I would still say it is probably as a brand, it is probably the best equipment that there is. Yeah. And a lot of it is very, very good.
Yeah.
And even the stuff, yeah, even the stuff that isn't great, you can still kind of make it pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. I also think as well, like, I wouldn't say it's overrated in the sense, but I'd also say it can be overcomplicated massively, you know, because you'll always be trying to seek the perfect, like, resistance profile, what feels better. And in reality, I always think, like, there's some things that actually it makes sense, like it makes complete sense. But then other times it's like, well, just pick one and just keep it consistent and just get stronger. That's literally what it's going to be like. And I will also say as well, prime equipment is very big in the sense of, like, for Woody, he's literally like 5'1". He's not very tall, so naturally
his skeleton. Stop bullying people on the podcast.
Not bullying him. I'm stating a pure fact. But Woody is not that tall, and Woody will be the first one to tell you. So if he hopped, mate,
oh, mate, like, the
flat press, mate. Imagine, like, that's so wide. Like, that's wide for me. Like, Woody would be literally, it'd be like him out here, unless he's got. Yeah, he'd be doing a fly. So yeah, it's one of those where, like, for some people, probably it's quite big. It's almost designed for, not like big bodybuilders, because it's not going to, like, if you were to add loads of muscle, you're not instantly going to get, like, your arms wider or whatever. But yeah, it's one of those where, like, if you're naturally a bit smaller and you can overcomplicate it, it can be overrated. But generally, the prime equipment is pretty good. So yeah. I wouldn't be picking a gym just full of prime, though. Like, I feel like you can't, like, it's one brand that you almost have as like a, it's almost like Thiago Alcantara. You sprinkle him in to a finished team and it's spot on. Your prime equipment, you sprinkle into a finished gym, spot on. But you wouldn't build your gym off prime equipment. You'd almost have it as like the cherry on the top of the cake, on the icing on top of the cake.
Fantastic, mate.
Cheers, mate.
DP Fit, why can a newborn baby hack more than Reese?
Fucking hell, he actually asked that. He's not let that go. That's like four times he's mentioned it. Shocking. He must have seen my hack and gone, oh, that's appalling. I do find it funny. Like, I know he's only joking, but, like, I do find it funny when, like, you know, you people, like, Josh Jenkins, bless him, love Josh, but he was the exact same with the hack when he was, like, doing similar numbers to me. And it's like, congrats, I'm not that strong at hack squatting.
know? Yeah, I think it is people just winding you up in it. Like, they don't, yeah, they're not like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, it is literally just wind you up.
Yeah, and it is quite funny. Two and a half plates for 16. Fucking shocking. I can't be the first one to tell you. My hack squatting is awful. Always has been. Always will be. I just don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it again.
2.5 plates paused for 16 isn't that bad. Most people wouldn't. That wouldn't be easy.
No, but it's not. It's not amazing, you know. Like,
no,
I'll get it up to like.
It's not that bad.
What are you saying?
Absolutely shite, mate. But it's not that bad.
No, but it is bad. It's bad.
Like, awful. Bad. Worst thing I've ever seen, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It could be worse. It could have been far worse. So, yeah. Yeah, it's just part of it. I just got to take it. I'm the strongest men's physique guy in the world, so I've got to take some fucking hate on the hack. Imagine. Oh, funny. Right, right. Ant has asked, when do I steal my girlfriend's insulin from the fridge? I'd say, why haven't you already been stealing it with the amount of food you're on, mate? Then Alex, in your opinion, the most undervalued aspect of both your coaching services? Good question, Alex.
The most undervalued aspect?
Yeah.
I don't know what people value. So it's hard to say. I would probably say...
Oh, fair enough. You go, mate.
No, I was going to say, I'd probably say, like, for a lot of clients, they'll often be like, I didn't expect it to be this detailed, or I didn't expect you to care this much or give this amount of time. Like, I think they almost expect, right, here's your training, here's your nutrition, just check in once a week, and then I'll say, yeah, good man, you're on your way. But it's like, I'll chat with most clients. I know you're the same. Like, we'll chat with most clients most days about any questions they've got, or, you know, usually it's training feedback. And yeah, probably that. And also, like, the fact that our check-ins aren't just 2 minutes of, yeah, you've done this, you've hit your food, you've not done that, do that next time, yep, see you next week. It's like actually trying to help people. If they're not doing something, why are you not doing it? Talk to me about why you're not doing it. Let's try and resolve it. Let's try and do this. Let's try and do that. Can we change something so that it's going to be easier for you to fit into your lifestyle? Like, things like that, which a lot of coaches don't do.
Yeah, I'll paraphrase. And I know he won't mind me telling you this, or saying this, because Alex is a lovely lad. But after I had a check-in with him on Monday, and he mentioned to me, like, he was feeling a bit soft, feeling a bit like, just like, you know, just a bit meh regarding like how he was looking, how things were. And like, I said to him straight, like, you're not soft. I can completely understand. And I kind of put myself in the position that he was. And yeah, he always says that it helps him when, like, you know, you can sympathize because you've done the same sort of mistakes and you've been there. And you can say, like, mate, this is how you should feel. This is why you should almost look towards this, or this is what you can do. And he messaged me like saying the Reece Guardiola masterclass check-ins are back. He said he thanks, like, needed it. And then I dropped him another voice note regarding like how things were regarding like an aggressive pullback. And then he actually said, and I quote, mate, I actually fucking love you. No joke. You literally just know what to say to get my head back into it. It's really quite unique. Because I feel like, and I won't go into this a bit emotionally, basically said like, I'm the only person you can be open and honest with. And I'm always very open and honest back to him about how he is. And like, I feel like that's one thing, like me and you wouldn't hold stuff back from a client. Like, we wouldn't be like, I don't want to say this. I'll tell clients anything, even if it's really personal, if I felt like it could help them. And it's where it's very like that personable trait is quite hard to get with other coaches, when, like you said, their check-ins could be 2 minutes long, or it's literally just training, nutrition. Like, I don't care how your week's been. Like, if I feel like I could tell them a story about when I was 17 or 18 and I had a similar issue, but that was going to help them.
When you got molested.
Yeah, exactly. I was a bit younger. I was 12. Come on, mate. Don't mention that again. I'm not going to be able to.
What you tell people every check-in? They were like, "I've had a great week, mate." Da, 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 da. And you're like, "When I was 12, I got molested."
Yeah, or when it comes around to Father's Day, like we said, mate, I start checking in with people. I'm like, "How you doing, mate? You're right." You know, yeah. I'm glad you had a good week. I didn't. It was Father's Day yesterday. My dad died. Funny. Imagine you get a check-in from a coach and he literally was like, yeah, cheers, mate. I'm glad you had a good week. I really didn't. Imagine you'd be like,
I do have a fair few clients who will say, like, hope you've had a good week, mate. Like, you know, obviously you get quite a lot who, like, who knows. But yeah, quite a lot who will say, like, oh, I hope you've had a really good week as well, mate. Like, how's your week been? How's your training been? Like, it's quite nice. But I don't like talking about myself in the check-ins. I know you do, mate. But I just, you fucking love talking about yourself.
Yeah, all I do is just checking about myself. Like, yeah, mate, did this the other day. That was all right. Imagine.
It's not even funny. No, it's not. You say imagine after everything that actually happens. I don't have to imagine.
Mate, I say it as a joke, mate. You just run with it. To be fair, no, during prep, like, people would ask, like, oh, how's prep going? So I'd like, at the end of some people's check-ins, I'd give them like a little prep
20 minute update.
Yeah, they're checking 2 minutes. They're checking video. They're like, fucking hell, 22 minutes. And it's only 2 minutes of...
21 minutes of you just being like, oh, yeah, this has happened. And I did this. Oh, I pulled 300 for one the other day. Yeah.
You should look at my newest photo on Instagram. It's ridiculous.
You're going to like it. Have you liked it?
You liked it. I've seen you haven't liked it. Have you commented? Have you shared it on your story yet?
Right.
Your question? Yeah, your question, mate.
Mackenzie has asked, any plans on competing overseas?
Yeah. Not really a plan of like competing, like I want to compete in this country. But if there's a show that aligns next year where it's overseas and it's something where it's like a pro qualifier or like a pro card attempt, then 100%, I think it'll be stupid. Like, I will probably have like 5 to 6 shows lined up, and I'd probably say 4 of which will be probably overseas. So yeah, that'd be that. What about yourself, mate? You're gonna go to Las Vegas? You're gonna go pro? That's what it is. That's the goal.
Yeah, it'd be cool to go to the Worlds, but I think, to be fair, like even just as qualifiers, like, or even just like as finals, it'd be cool to travel and see what it's like doing.
Do you actually think it would be, mate? I genuinely do not think it would be, because you're going in a real dieted state. You'd be stressed about the travel, you're stressed about your food, you wouldn't know where to get a tan, it would be a bit of a bore lake, if I'm honest. Like, it'd be cool.
I think
easier than it would probably, like,
a few times.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be that much of a bore lake. And especially if it was like maybe one of your last shows or your last show, you could look at spending like another week or two there.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know. I would like to do it. It's not like I'm not set in stone, like, oh yeah, I definitely need to do that, but
no,
it would be cool.
Yeah, I agree. Would you rather shit out a rugby ball or piss out a golf ball for educational reasons?
I saw that on Will Bertolini's story the other day.
Well, it was from Josh, so he might have asked him that. But they all seem to be quite connected, shall we say. We're talking a simple one-off. I'd say a rugby ball, probably. I couldn't imagine a golf ball.
I wouldn't even notice it. Had that many gym pins up there, it'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly. With all the stuff that me and Finn get up to, we'd be absolutely sad. we wouldn't be noticed. We'd be like, oh, God, it was harder last night.
Yeah, I wouldn't even realise.
Yeah,
to be fair, exactly. With the size of some of my shits, I wouldn't even realise anyway.
It was just so high, digestion.
It's
so
high.
Yeah.
Digestion's that good. All my food just clumps into one massive shit and just comes out like a rugby ball anyway.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes total sense. Fair enough. So yeah, we choose the rugby ball, mate. Your question, I think I've got like one to two more, mate, and then we'll wrap up if you want.
Yeah.
Sound.
I've not got mine ready.
Fucking hell. What have you been doing, mate? We've been on the podcast for like 55 minutes.
I had them up, but
you need a D-load. You're mentally too fatigued. You need a D-load.
Any food changes? This is from your client, I think, Alex Kingsley. Any food changes during a devolume period, reduction to match reduced output?
Not a bad question, to be fair. Usually, I would say in a devolume phase, I usually would prefer just to leave things fairly similar, if I'm honest. It really depends on the phase and where you're at. Like, I think stuff like this, it's like if you're working with someone for a long term and you can trial stuff out, you could definitely go for it. Over a short term, I'd probably just see and assess and think, right, we have a little bit more food, devolume, like we're trying to rid fatigue, food's not going to be hurting you in that position. So I'd probably want to keep things the same. And it would be the same as like, let's say, even in like a devolume, like if it were a deload, just going to like non-training day food, that would most likely probably be the one I'd go for. But I wouldn't be like saying devolume, do non-training day food. I'd be like, right, do training day food. And we could make a few manipulations based off where we're at. Like at the end of a phase, we need to be a bit more critical. We could be. But I think, again, it depends entirely on the person, where things are at. And I personally wouldn't be thinking like, unless someone was needing a bit of a food break because digestion was poor, appetite levels were horrendous, I think maybe going for a slightly lesser food approach would be good. But I would then question, would a bigger change be needed to kind of get the response you'd want? So yeah, I think it's very person dependent. It's the standard coaching cliche, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, I think in a gaining phase, I'd probably just say you'll be fine on normal food.
Yeah.
I think potentially in a prep, if it's a case of you trying to rid fatigue, you could look at doing a devolume alongside a slight sort of diet break or a refeed, potentially. But yeah, I think for most people, when you're going to take a devolume, like for most people, obviously being, let's say, just in an off season, then I would just stick to your normal training day food.
Yeah. Yeah, no, makes sense. What do you reckon about, like, let's say training days relevant to non-training days? Let's say if you were to have a deload, and say, like, for example, with where you're at now, 3-day deload, would you just do, like, and again, this is going to be very person-dependent, but what's your opinion on, like, saying training day food on the days you would train so your energy stays similar throughout the week? Obviously, your output's different, but in a gaining phase, you know, like, where you're at, or would you prefer to say non-training days, like, for the whole time?
For me, I'd much prefer just have non-training day food. It's going to give yourself a little bit of a break, going to give the pancreas a little bit of a break in terms of producing as much insulin, because obviously you're not going to be eating as many carbs. Even just to give you a bit of a digestive break. Like I've felt pretty good the last 2 days because I've not been force feeding myself. Like I still eat a lot on a rest day, but I'm not
force
feeding food in and like having to get meals in at specific, well, obviously I still eat at very similar times, but I'm not right. I'm training at this point. So it's meal one, meal two, meal three by this time. And then obviously intra post-workout as soon as I finish training and then get home and eat again. You know, it's a lot more relaxed on a rest day where it's like, right, you know, I know the times that I eat and I've not got to work around training or anything. So from a almost from like a stress perspective as well, both like psychologically and physiologically, I think it's beneficial to have rest day food on a deload. Yeah, it'd be very, very rare that I would get someone to eat training day food unless like I thought, for example, if it was someone who potentially had come out of a diet phase or was really, really lean and we were just trying to push weight, then potentially I'd be like, right, just stick to your normal food, like your training day food on your normal training days, even though you're off. Like, but it's very rare that I'd do that.
Yeah. No, I agree. That makes sense. We'll have a look. Let's see. Right. Last question, actually. AJ Bauer. I think he was early this week, wasn't he, for the one this week. Big AJ.
I forgot to upload it.
Yeah, you were, actually. Shocking. Last minute question. Well, it was a last minute question, box mate. If you had to depict one person to live with for the rest of your life, who and why? Well, I'd both say we'd probably pick our girlfriends. Like, you know.
I don't know if you would.
Maybe I'd pick you. I'd fucking hate you. We'd end up falling out, I reckon. We'd like each other. I think if it was a holiday, we'd get on really well. And to be fair, I don't think we would actually annoy each other because we'd be doing our own stuff. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't be next to each other. As long as we both had our offices to work, I think we'd be sound. Well, no, we would be sound. Like, we just wouldn't talk. We'd just be like, yeah, mate, sound. We doing work. Yeah, yep, sound.
See you at the gym.
Yeah, it would be that. Would literally be it. Or like, you'd be ready. We'd like, yep, sound. That would be it. Doesn't really be too much. And then we'd probably watch a bit of football on the weekends. That'd be it. And speaking of which, mate, Champions League, we need to, you know, the build-up, like any big games, I think we should watch a few. You know, like the semis, quarters, etc., finals, as long as Liverpool aren't in it, but hopefully they are, because I'll watch it with my mum. But if not, we should watch some Champions League games together, because I like the Euros.
Yeah.
You're going to accept my proposal? Or are you going to say, nah, I don't really want it?
Yeah, I can do if you want, mate. It's a bit late. I'm usually in bed at like 9.
Yeah, but mate, come on. No, we'll watch the final if it's a big game.
Yeah, like all right. We'll watch the final.
Yeah, sound. Or like if it's a big semi and it's like, you know, a big semi. Yeah, trust me. I've actually got one that's just come through, mate. When is Reece going to admit Cancelo is better than Trent? Shocking. Like, absolutely awful. From, you know, Quahace, or however you actually pronounce his name.
Kez.
You know, Kez. Yeah, but like, he's a United fan as well, which is really weird. Yeah, he replied to a story when I said Trent will probably go down as like the best fullback of all time. And he, like, I said, I was like, right, name five better fullbacks. And he literally like named Lahm, great player, shifted to left back in his international career. And then he was a defensive mid for Pep because he couldn't play fullback. I think he mentioned Dani Alves, who I think can chat to Trent. And I think he said Cafu's productivity was nowhere near as good as Trent. He was just the first of a good kind of fullback.
Like Gary Neville.
Gary Neville, awful. Like, Prem fullbacks, Trent's already the best right back there has ever been in the Prem. Like, if you go Prem all the time, Trent's the best right back. And by the time he retires, that will be literally a solidified opinion.
Reece James is good.
I like Reece James. I think Reece James is a good blend. But, yeah. Cancelo's a good footballer. I like Cancelo. But he's not better than Trent. Right, your questions, mate.
This is from Big Ped.
Big Ped.
Did you see
his training clips? He tagged me. I commented.
Did you watch his sets?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
So I watched one set.
Yeah.
It was the first one.
I saw the load and I already knew I wasn't going to watch the sets based on, I think, the repetitions.
The load was good. The range of motion was good. The breathing was good. The bracing was good. But I can't say that you train hard, mate.
Does he not train hard?
He doesn't train hard.
Oh, what does he train like then? Yeah. Hard, yeah.
Like,
how many reps available are we talking?
They're probably a good 3+.
Ooh, Ped, come on. You said you train hard.
I mean, and I did only one not... set. It could have been, to be fair, it could have been the first set. He might have been working down in reps in reserve. I don't know. Yeah. But either way, he's asked, do you think switching to training at home on your own after years of being in the gym can cause a loss of effort, even in experienced athletes, due to the fact of not having external stimuli, like seeing other athletes train hard? Thank you, guys. You really are awesome.
Oh, thanks, Ped. Thanks for that. So firstly, I think we need to understand, are the other athletes training hard or hard?
The training hard. We know Ped,
clearly. If he's getting three reps in reserve and he thinks he trains hard, then clearly these other people probably, if they only train hard, aren't actually training hard. No. So I'd say, no, you don't need others. But if I'm honest, I think, yeah, definitely. You can make of it really what you want. Like, we've always said this about training. Like, we would train fine on our own. Some of our best and productive sessions, I literally look back at our leg pressing and our squatting and like some of the movements we did. And I'd be like, that was fucking fun. Like, I really like some of those sets. And we, if anything, I'm not going to say trained harder. We didn't train harder, but we trained as hard and we pushed ourselves the same as if we were in a gym, the same if we weren't in the gym. But that being said, me and Finn are quite not lucky, but we're not aroused and stimulated by others and like external kind of factors. My perfect scenario for training would be a few people there just so like there's a little bit of atmosphere, but like no one talk to me, let me train, let me just focus on, like, if there's a platform with a barbell and it's me and Finn, that's spot on. That's all. And you know, if we're doing like a deadlift, to be around the people, we're quite lucky with that. But yeah, you can definitely not switch yourself on. We've all been guilty, as much as we wouldn't want to admit it, of going into sessions probably and not getting yourself switched on, and you almost have to tell yourself, right, get yourself ready, whether that's at home or in the gym. But you can make the best out of a bad situation. But I definitely think if you weren't careful, you could probably train, instead of three reps in reserve, Ped, maybe five reps in reserve. So you need to, you could, I'd almost, I ask, think, well, you're training with reps in reserve in the gym, so I'd hate to wonder what it
would, I think, be. For most people, no. I think it would impact you for most people.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think even if you've got a coach and even if you're filming your sets, I think just that difference in environment for 99% of people is probably going to take away from their training. Well, it's like a lot of people will have a home gym, but they still go to the gym because they like that environment of going to the gym. And usually it's that separation, isn't it? You're not just, oh, I've got to go like in the garage where it's probably cold and your TV's 5 seconds away, where you're like, oh, I'm sat watching TV chilling. Like, whereas if you've got to go to the gym, or you go on your way back from work and things like that, where it's almost like forcing yourself to go, likelihood is you're probably going to get more out of it, even for an advanced trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd agree. Like we said, you can always make...
Have you run out of questions?
Yes, mate. That was it. That was it, the last minute ones.
All right, Miles.
Any more to conclude?
Yeah,
Miles Mason again.
Yeah, we'll smash through these. Who's winning the footy? Who's winning the footy on Monday? He's put. I don't think there is any footy on a Monday. I reckon he's just having us on.
Who's playing on Monday?
I can't think of any games.
It'll be a joke.
But I don't know. Have I said something? Does it sound like I've said something? Who's winning the footy on Monday? It doesn't sound like my cock small, does it?
No, or I'm getting fisted, or whatever the last one.
Swinging the footy, I've been fisted at the arse. It sounds like,
yeah. Just, oh shit, he's done it again. I'm having a look. Yeah, I don't think there's.
There won't be
Wednesday.
There's never any games on Monday. There's not like a Monday night football, is there?
Don't think so.
Cheers, Miles.
Yeah, cheers, that mate. Fantastic question.
This is Jack Strong. Great name. Best machine out right now for each body part.
Fastest. We've answered, but I think actually I don't mind answering this because I feel like it changes quick. Yes. Legs. Calves.
Anything. Doesn't really matter. There isn't a specific. Yeah.
Anything to go through this with your ankle. Quads. Just that. quads, prime leg extension, or hack squats, ab hack.
Yeah, we've got to pick one. I'd say prime leg extension.
Yeah, hamstring.
Live fitness, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
Glutes.
Nautilus hip drive.
Yeah, probably. Oh, maybe a Smith machine. I prefer a Smith for it.
Yeah. Abs. Abs. Anything but the ones we use.
No, I like the ab coaster thing.
I like the. The lower ab.
Yeah, the ab coaster, it's called.
Yeah, the actual crunch is fucking appalling.
Yeah. So for abs, let's say the ab coaster, Atlantis ab coaster. It's basically like a machine leg raise or knee raise.
The Matrix ab crunch isn't actually that bad, if I'm honest. I didn't think that was that bad of a bit of kit. Did you ever use that? The one that Pure Gym?
Mate, it's horrendous.
Really? I thought that was all right. Maybe I was 18.
Yeah, it's awful.
Seriously? Yeah. I used to do like 30 with that when I was 18. And like, look at my abs, they're sick.
Yeah, exactly.
It fucking worked. What are we going? Chest? Or are you doing abs?
We've done abs.
Right. Back. Are we doing back in lats? Are we doing
let's do lats and then upper back.
Okay. Lats, single arm cable pull down, my favourites. I'd say cable pull down. But if we're going off anything else, a Nautilus pull down. But I think it's what massively overrated. Yeah, it's all right.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say a cable. Cable you can set up for any kind of alignment for lats, which is good.
Anything of that, that's what you want. Upper back, or like mid to upper back.
Prime seated row.
Prime seated row. That would be my go-to, actually. Really good bit of kit. Chest.
Cable press.
Yeah. A pre-core cable chest press that doesn't get sticky.
I wouldn't say the pre-core one. I'd just say any form one, or even just
any cable press that isn't light would be lovely. That would be fantastic. There's a gap in the market for a machine to come out that's like a gym shop,
a Watson cable press. I don't know how heavy that is.
It's Watson though, mate. You know, you buy the bullet.
It looks pretty good.
I've heard when you buy one bit of Watson, 7 bits of kit turn up as well. Have you heard about that? You
get a deal, yeah.
You buy one bit of Watson, you're like, they send you 8 bits of kit.
They take away all the good stuff.
Yeah.
The live fitness ham as well.
Yeah. They just send you a bunch.
Delts. Let's just do delts as a whole. So I'd just say a cuffed lateral.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're going, a cuffed lateral would be the same for. Are we doing it? Well, just delts in general.
Yeah. That's everything.
Is that everything?
I think we could go into all the minutiae, like all traps and rear delts and front delts and sternal versus clavicular pecs and shit. Let's just leave it at that. A lot of it, quite interestingly, is just cable based. Like, it's not all, that wasn't all machine, was it?
Yeah, no. I think we should just say Cybex Bravo. Just get one of them. Best cable in the game. Everyone, again, loves the Cybex Bravo. That's pretty much what it is.
It is good.
Yeah, no, it is good because you could do a lot of work out of it. Is that all your questions or did you say you had one more?
Last one.
Let's go for it.
Is your arm size bigger than your neck size?
Fuck knows. Well, to be fair, mate, probably not for you because your head's fucking massive. So your neck better be pretty strong to hold that meat head up.
I think now, probably not. I feel like it probably has been at one point, like when I've been a bit leaner, but I've still had decent arms.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the leanest neck from the front. But the fattest neck ever, where like, if I roll my head back, I have like legitimately about 9 rolls on the back of my neck. There was a period during the last lockdown, where I stopped videoing myself from the behind because I just looked at my head. And I remember saying to Finn, the back of my head just looks like a big thumb. And it pissed me off because I had such a fat like neck and like back of my head. So yeah, my back of my neck is probably about 60 weeks out. My front of my neck is probably about 3 weeks out. That's what it is. So it's pretty much like my body in general. My back's always fat. My front is always quite lean.
Yeah.
So yeah, the joy. But that's pretty much everything. I think we've gone a little bit over and got back to all the questions. We just wanted it bad tonight. Did you have anything to leave us on, mate? Or are we all good to wrap up?
All good, mate. Sound.
Right, well, that'll be podcast... I think we said 35. I think it's 35.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, podcast 35. I feel like we've been into the 30s now for like the last like 10 weeks. Like I almost feel like we need to be at the 40s. I feel like
in the last 5 weeks, mate.
Actually. It feels a lot longer than 5 weeks, but it is what it is. Anyway, appreciate all the questions. And likewise, we had a load of story tags, I feel like, this week. I feel like it's because you did it late. People were just waiting.
Dying like, anxious, for it to come out.
Yeah, dying. Refreshing Instagram, YouTube, everything for the newest episode. But hopefully Finn remembers to upload it on time. He got into the gym on Monday and he goes, mate, I forgot to upload the podcast.
Because I had messages asking where the fuck's the podcast.
Yeah, oh shit, I forgot to do it. That just goes to show that's when we knew we needed to deload. Finn was just forgetting normal things. Or admin man was forgetting to do normal things.
Wasn't it?
It's because admin man got a bit too drunk on the weekend. That's all. Anyway, other than that, hopefully everyone's enjoyed. Thanks for the questions and appreciate all the story tags. We'll catch you guys in the next episode.